Those in Christianity, part 21, Illumination on the Illuminati. On much framed subject of the Freemasons and the Illuminati, here is a brief history of the events that led to subversion of the Masons by Jewry and the truth of the Illuminati. Rothschild hired a son of a Jewish rabbi named Adam Weishaupt to create a pseudo-Masonic-looking front, the Illuminati, and armed him with massive funds and contacts. The stage was set. History records that on May 1st, 1776, Dr. Adam Weishaupt founded the Bavarian Order of the Illuminati. Weishaupt was a professor of Jewish canon law at the University of Ingolstadt in Bavaria, Germany. He was born to Jewish parents and later converted to Roman Catholicism. He became a high-ranking member of the Order of the Jesuits, whom he subsequently left to form his very own organization at the clear behest of the newly formed House of Rothschilds. It was the Jewish Weishaupt's belief that only a chosen few could qualify for enough illumination to guide and rule the world. The problem was, where could he find enough intellectual light-bearers to start the ball rolling? He subsequently found them in various lodges and orders of the day, such as the various Masonic lodges, the Rosicrucian Order, and other legitimate and sincere orders of antiquity. This is confirmed yet again by Edith Starr Miller in her classic Occult Theocracy. As the organization of the Illuminati developed, so did its ambitions, which ended in a plot to subvert Freemasonry to its aim of world domination by any and all means. After obtaining control of certain Masonic lodges, Weishaupt and his associates recklessly vaunted their growing power. Weishaupt took the name Spartacus because, like the Roman warrior, he was dedicated to freeing the oppressed masses from the oppression of all monarchies and religious powers. His desire to shake off the yoke of limitation would include not only governments and organized religion, but also the institution of marriage and even family. Weishaupt wanted a system of truly global dimensions, even if it brought about violent worldwide revolution and rivers of blood. His benevolent dictatorship had six main points dealing with the abolition of, one, ordered or nationalistic governments in the form of monarchies, two, private property, three, inheritance rights, four, patriotism to nationalist causes, five, social order in families, sexual prohibition laws protecting minors, and all moral codes. Six, all religious disciplines based on faith in a living God as opposed to faith in nature, man, and reason. In other words, pushing atheism to remove all spiritual knowledge. This is almost word for word from Karl Marx's The Communist Manifesto, and these 6 points are also perfectly consistent with the protocols in general, once again proving their legitimacy. Weishaupt's vision for a future world was a full-on communism with all possessions, even children, held in common. It is more interesting to learn that Karl Marx was not the real founder of communist world revolution. Its true father was Adam Weishaupt, founder of the Freemasonic Order of the Illuminati, Marshalko. This is a quote from Adam Weishaupt. The great strength of our order lies in its concealment. Let it never appear in any place in its own name, but always covered by another name and another occupation. None is fitter than the three layers degrees of Freemasonry. The public is accustomed to it, expects little from it, and therefore takes little notice of it. Adam Weishaupt. At its beginning, the Illuminati was not a Masonic order, and Weishaupt himself did not enter a lodge until 1777, when he received induction into the lodge Theodore de Bon Conciel in Munich. However, once inside Masonry, Weishaupt immediately saw its potential value to be a vehicle for the realization of his Illuminati dreams. To create an official union between the Illuminati and Freemasonry, Weishaupt set about organizing the Congress of Wilhelmsbach, at the castle of William IX of Hesse Castle, to occur on July the 16th, 1782. That special event, which was momentous in both size and aspirations, was attended by elite representatives of Masonic lodges from all over. It was also there that a decision was reached to allow the previously excluded Jews to be granted admittance into Freemasonry. The Illuminati Creed claimed all people are equal. Communism/Christianity. However, there was another tacit reason for the change in Masonic policy towards the Jews. Money was needed. And the Jews were the principal bankers of Europe, a role they had assumed since the time of the fall of the Knights Templar. And don't forget, King William IX was in debt at the time and was, in general, a psychopathic individual. When the time came for a vote on their admittance at Wilhelmsbad, the Jews were so anxious to win the day that they completely filled the hall with other Jewish supporters. It was not long afterwards that the Illuminati membership included an abundance of Jewish banking families, including the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the Wertheimers, the Schusters, Speyers, Sterns. New lodges of predominantly Jews were formed in Frankfurt, the Rothschilds' financial capital in Europe, and soon all of Illuminized Freemasonry would make the city its world headquarters. The first order of business for the Illuminati-initiated Jews, who were the ways to manifest their prophesied Zion, a world ruled by the chosen people of Yahweh, plans were set in motion for the Jews to finally have their land of milk and honey that had been promised to them for so long in their own Jew minds, and it would be the entire world. The opportunity for manifesting their Zion arrived with the Russian Revolution, which was financed by the Jewish bankers. One of their own, a German Jew, Karl Marx, had catalyzed the event with the publication of his Communist Manifesto. Karl Marx, whose real name was Rabbi Mordechai Levi, was a member of the League of the Just, which would lead to the creation of the Communist League. 1841, Moses Hess brought Marx into a society called the League of the Just. The motto of the League of the Just, Bund der Gerechten, was "All men are brothers," and its goals were the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth, based on the ideals of love of one's neighbor, equality, and justice. Bolshevik leader of the revolution, Lenin, who on both sides of his family was of Jewish lineage, contributed his plan for a centralized government that would be controlled by a Jewish oligarchy. After Lenin and his Illuminati cohorts raised their flag at the end of the Russian Revolution, their new communist government emerged, Jews occupying at least 75% of its highest positions, and would end with 60 million Gentiles murdered by the Jews by the time communism was over. Many of them murdered in an organized system of camps, all run by Jewish commissars. Slave labor in Soviet Russia. http://web.archive.org/web/20150600192/http://www.exposingcommunism.com/slave %20LABOR%20Soviet%20Russia.pdf. The Jewish bankers also took another tact and slowly built up an empire of financial institutions to oversee a capitalistic infrastructure that would govern the world. As one Jewish banker and Illuminati patron, Amschel Rothschild, is known to have famously remarked, "Give me the control of a country's finances, and I care not who governs the country." which leads to communism in the end. The Jews hold all wealth and power, and the Gentiles are reduced to total slavery, to global Jewry's one world order. Nations will, this is a quote, the nations will gather to pay homage to the people of God. All the fortunes of the nations will pass to the Jewish people. They will march captive behind the Jewish people in chains and will prostrate themselves before them. Their kings will bring up their sons and their princesses will nurse their children. The Jews will command the nations. They will summon peoples whom they do not even know them, will hasten to them. Riches of the sea and the wealth of nations will come to the Jews of their own right. Any people of the kingdom who will not serve Israel will be destroyed. That quote is by Isidore Loeb, and this is in French, so excuse me if I'm about to slaughter it, but Le Littérature des Pauvres dans la Bible. What were the effects of the subversion of Freemasonry by the Jews within the organization? Masonry is based upon Judaism. Eliminate the teachings of Judaism from the Masonic ritual and what is left. Jewish Tribune, New York, October 28, 1927. Quote, in the present nations, Freemasonry is only of benefit to the Jews. Theodor Herzl, founder and leader of World Zionism. Quote, we have founded many secret associations which all work for our purpose under our orders and our direction. One of the many triumphs of our Freemasonry is that those Gentiles who become members of our lodges should never suspect that we're using them to build their own jails, upon whose terraces we shall erect the throne of our universal King of the Jews, and should never know that we are commanding them to forge the chains of their own servility to our future King of the World. This was from the opening speech made at the B'nai B'rith Convention in Paris, and published in the Catholic Gazette, February 1936. And here it should be obvious why the Third Reich banned such organizations within Germany. They are organs of Jewish communism. Sources, Becoming Gnostic Civilization by M.A. Pinkham. And that concludes part 21 of Exposing Christianity, entitled Illumination on the Illuminati. Hail Satan!